speak outside court because it's seen as a form of advertising, but it just occurred to me on the weekend I haven't any services to advertise at the moment. So I don't think people, the bar, will take objection to me for once saying a few words. I was just watching ABC News this morning and on came that children's choir, "We are Australians," and so forth, that we all know. "And I am Australian," etc. So what does it mean, really, these days, when we're inculcating the sense of being Australian in our children, when, on the other side of the coin, what our country has turned into? How are we, why and how can we be putting to the children in our midst that we are Australian, we're proud to be Australian and the rest, when we've really sunk so low? So I really see, and I want you to know, that I see the prosecution of myself and Witness K as only part of the depths we've got into, the bear pit, all the rest of the parliamentary nonsense, the lies, the rorts, that we've become so inured to that we now accept the sort of Chicago in our midst. And that's the problem. The other issue is, and I speak as someone who's observed the political scene inside and out for more than 40 years, is that as the calibre of our politicians in terms of capacity and morality or ethics drops, the bureaucracy grow inversely stronger and more persuasive. And I believe that we have to do a root and branch reform of the top echelons of the bureaucracy. Now, as you know, and as some of you here I see, very eminent Australians as well, know that you can almost count on two hands the number of officials who are really, really influencing and running our country. And I can't say a word about the extraordinary week's evidence that happened here a few weeks ago. As you know, the heads of our agencies, the head of Home Affairs, gave evidence. I can't say a word about that evidence, but if that transcript ever surfaces, perhaps long after I've gone, your children, your grandchildren will be gobsmacked at who is really running our country and what is going on. So the great requirement is that there be a public trial. Today's proceedings are really a further interim argument about whether the Commonwealth will respond to subpoenas and whether the petroleum companies will respond adequately to subpoenas. I can't address that here, but it's a long, awful fight, and I'm so grateful to the law firm in Sydney, Gilbert and Tobin, whose partners, wonderful partners, pro bono, have been running this. I think, is this our 40th or 41st appearance in court? I was just last, yesterday, the day before, yes, on Monday evening, I spent time with a huge team of lawyers, Silks, and their very intelligent juniors, as we discussed the case. I'm uplifted by those in my profession who are giving their own time for this battle. The other issue I wanted to speak about is this funding thing that's going on. It's for disbursements. I've got no control over the money. It's controlled by a separate independent group, even though it's in my name. I was a bit nervous about raising money, but we have to establish that what happened in Dili, that I can't comment on, was not for our economic well-being, and eminent economists need to be called to give evidence. We have to establish that it had nothing to do with national security, and we have to establish that far from it being in support of foreign relations, squeezing the Timorese further did nothing for foreign relations. And that's got to be fought out, and it's got to result in a reform right around the board as to whether we can get our country back on the road it was on. Those of you who've read my book, Not Advertising, will see that we took a right-hand turn in foreign policy in the mid-60s into the 70s. We just joined the wagons drawn by the Americans and the British around Moscow and then Peking, and we didn't depart. We couldn't recognise genuine nationalist struggles to our north. If you now read the papers of John Curtin, Evatt, Chifley, and their external affairs head, John Burton, you'll see that they proposed foreign aid way back then, developing the same Colombo plan that Richard Casey wanted. And there was a bipartisan approach at that time, before 1949, to genuine nationalists and post-colonial struggles to our north. We left all that behind afterwards, and we made further bad turns when Garfield Barwick decided that it would be good if we got hold of the whole of the continental shelf. And that 50 years of deceitful foreign policy is now compounded by what you're here about now. And I really earnestly, I'm going to turn 76 in a fortnight, hope that there'll be a new band who will come forward and get a reform and get us back on, back where we were after the Second World War. That is, trying to be an exemplary country. We're no longer exemplary, trust me. So that's a problem. I'm going up to Armidale in a couple of weeks to speak to a sanctuary group, because Armidale have been very good with children in detention and the rest. And once again, that's the issue that most concerns us. I was thinking this morning, what about children in detention awaiting deportation who would hear that song on ABC in detention, We Are Australian? I mean, how do they feel? So there's so much to reform in the country, and I hope you know that a lot of my views would be supported by Witness K. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Bernard, and for continuing this struggle. You're doing a great job for Australia's democracy and for everybody here and internationally. Now, I'll pin Ebony, who I've introduced, from the Australia Institute. I'll hand over to you.
G'day everyone, Ebony Bennett from the Australia Institute. For those who aren't familiar with us, we're an independent think tank. We're based here in Canberra because the Australia Institute supports democracy, and we believe in politics and what politics can achieve to improve our nation and the future ahead of us. That's why the Australia Institute is in Canberra. And Canberra is the heart of our democracy. We run a big democracy and accountability program of research. And as this sign over here says, democracy needs whistleblowers. The prosecution of Witness K and Bernard Collaery is a national disgrace. The prosecution of Witness K and Bernard Collaery is a travesty of justice. The prosecution of Witness K and Bernard Collaery is designed to silence whistleblowers and to cow the legal fraternity. Yeah. They're being prosecuted not for wrongdoing, but for doing the right thing. Yeah. They are being prosecuted because they have embarrassed the Commonwealth government. And the Commonwealth government, let's be clear, should be embarrassed. It was a coalition government led by John Howard and Alexander Downer that presided over a regime which spied on an Australian ally, an Australian neighbour in East Timor. not to protect Australia's national security, but to protect the profits of oil and gas companies like Woodside. Are those the actions of an ally? No, they are the actions of a bully and a thief. Timor-Leste survived war. Timor-Leste survived occupation. Timor-Leste is our close neighbour to the north. It's been a friend and an ally to Australia over many years. And they were impoverished at the end of war, at the end of occupation. And what did Australia do? We went in and bugged the deliberations of our neighbour in order to get extra profits for oil and gas companies. Nothing to do with our national security. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to José Ramos Horta, the former president of Timor-Leste and the Nobel Peace Prize winner, along with Bernard Collaery. And he was shocked about the prosecutions of Witness K and Bernard Collaery, along, he said, with the rest of the Timorese people. They are shocked at these prosecutions. He was shocked. Parts of this trial are occurring in secret. José Ramos Horta said he could understand secret trials in North Korea, but he found secret trials in a democracy like Australia to be mind-boggling. Witness K did absolutely the right thing in blowing the whistle on illegal spying operations of the Australian government. Bernard Collaery has done nothing wrong in representing his client. Attorney General Christian Porter is supposed to be the highest law officer of the land. These are politically motivated prosecutions, and it's a part of a pattern of behaviour to silence dissent, to crack down on whistleblowers, to harass and intimidate journalists who use whistleblowers in their reporting and who expose wrongdoing and corruption. This government has no interest in accountability, and we know that because it's 2 years since Attorney General Christian Porter promised an independent commission against corruption with real teeth, and we still haven't seen it. We've got a piece of paper that represents a toothless tiger, but not even any draft legislation. The government is not interested in accountability, it's interested in secrecy. Attorney General Christian Porter should do what former President José Ramos Horta has asked. He should stop the prosecution of whistleblowers, end the prosecution of Witness K, and end the prosecution of Bernard Collaery in the interests of Australian democracy. Thank you.
Thank you, Ebony, and for that fantastic speech with so many points that we really agree with. Now, I'd like to call on Sister Susan Connolly, who many of you will know. She's a sister of St. Joseph's and a representative of the Timor Sea Justice Forum. She's been working for justice for East Timor for decades, I might say. And she's produced those small flyers over there, which are on the bench. If you haven't had one, please take one and give one to a friend. Give one to a friend. I've also got a mailing list there. If you're not on my mailing list to hear about these events, you can put your name down over there. So I'd like to call on the amazing Susan Connolly, and might I say, the notorious Susan Connolly.
Thank you very much, Catherine. I'm glad to be in cahoots with people like you, and you as well. I'm not going to give a speech this morning. Instead, we're all going to say my speech. We're all going to sing it, actually. I'd like you to be suitably social distanced, if you could be, but you'll need to take your mask off. And I really am depending on the men of this nation. You were given a wonderful voice box, men, much stronger than the women, so we want to hear you. You all know the tune. It's Waltzing Matilda tune. Just glance over the words. It scans quite well. You won't have to worry too much about If you haven't got a copy, I only did 40, sorry, might have to look on there. And this will be up on. Now, what about you, good people here? I wonder whether you could. I really want everybody to join in, if you can, if you possibly can. Oh, sorry about the lack of. Nobody's got one for themselves, have they? No. Okay. Oh, good. You might like to come up here. Would you mind? I'm so grateful to help to these. This is the descant here, up here. Well, I'll lead you off, and look, I really would love you to sing it. Let's go, okay? Once a jolly downer hatched a secret money plan so that Australia would rake in more dough. It was government lying, spying on the Timorese. Now it's exploded and everyone knows. They won't confirm it.
They won't deny it, but will the layers swindle the poor? Now they're charged honest men, loving
national security, taking revenge in the guise of the law. Once a jolly Woodside, fine Australian company, found friends to help in the rich Timor Sea. From a bevy of recent escapees from Parliament, Woodside got info that brought it great glee. They won't confirm it, they won't deny it, but we all know that they swindled the poor. Now they've charged honest men, claiming national security, taking revenge in the guise of the law. Once the lying started, many more were sucked right in. Some, though, were up to their necks from the start. Whether Liberal or Labour, Canberra made a mess of it. Who now will step in and end this mad farce? They won't confirm it, they won't deny it, but we all know that they swindled the poor. Now they've charged honest men, claiming national security,
taking revenge
in the guise of the law. Once the spying surfaced, Timor got a border. But then our government scored an own goal. Porter charged the wrong people, prosecuting patriots. Secrecy hides politicians' true roles. They won't confirm it, they won't deny it, but we all know that they swindled the poor. Now they've charged honest men, claiming national security, taking revenge in the guise of the law. Once or twice or often, as we know ad tedium, governments cheat and then cannot lie straight. There's a smell that surrounds what they did about the helium. None for the people and all for their mates. They won't confirm it, they won't deny it, but we all know that they swindled the poor. Now they've charged honest men, claiming national security, taking revenge in the guise of the law. Once Australians see how we try to con the Timorese, most feel ashamed that we stoop down so low. We demand that the government drop the prosecutions, Parliament act and stop selling us. Now really big friends, they won't confirm it, they won't deny it, but we all know that they swindled the poor. Now they've charged honest men, claiming national security,
taking revenge in the guise of the law.
I'd have you as my choir any time.
Excellent, Susan. Amazing speech. Yes, and thank you everybody for joining in there. That was truly wonderful. Now I'd like to call on Tim Hollow, who also many of you will know, the director of the Green Institute here in Canberra. He's also a musician and has been a political advisor over many years. So a many skilled Tim Hollow.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Catherine, and good morning, everyone, and good on you, wonderful stalwarts, for continuing to be here to stand up for justice and for democracy. Before I go any further, I also want to acknowledge that we are standing here on the unceded land of the Ngunnawal people and pay my respects to their elders past, present, and still to come, recognising their deep, ancient, and ongoing connection with this beautiful land. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. And frankly, we don't have a democracy worthy of its name until we face up to the fact that this nation was built on dispossession and on genocide. And until we make that right with truth-telling, with listening, and with treaties negotiated in good faith. But we're here today, of course, to stand in solidarity with Witness Kay and Bernard Killeary, and to bear witness to them being dragged before the courts because they stood up for democracy and because their actions exposed for all to see the dark, dirty underbelly of our political system. And their trial in secret exposes it even more. Australian democracy has always been a complex and contradictory beast. We're proud of the peaceful process of federation with no war of independence, but that, of course, carefully sweeps under the carpet the 120 years of frontier wars that preceded it, which our mainstream history carefully and studiously ignores. And while remarkable grassroots campaigns delivered voting rights for women and the secret ballot very, very early on, that federation process, conducted almost entirely by all white men in closed rooms 120 years ago, has bequeathed us a very top-down democratic system. Our country's founding document is an act of the British Parliament, written in the age of empire, closer to the time of Napoleon than to our time today. It doesn't see government granted the capacity to govern by a sovereign people. Far from it. It sees a crowned sovereign a planet away, granting her subjects some measure of a say over their lives. And the reason I give that little potted history, which we all know, is because that top-down democratic system has evolved over the past century and a bit from the generous grant of an imperial sovereign to the dominant power of extractive industry, treating this land and its people as inconvenient impediments to their untrammelled right to make mind-boggling profits. In Australia today, we have government of the fossil fuel industry, by the fossil fuel industry, for the fossil fuel industry. From the carbon price to the resource rent tax, from Juukan Gorge to Adani, from the gas-led recovery to the Timor Sea and Dili's Parliament. We see the will of the people and just outcomes subordinated to the profits of one of the most destructive industries in world history. What Witness Kay and Bernard Killeary have done is shine a spotlight on that fact, deeply embarrassing governments, as Ebony so clearly pointed out, by showing for all to see that the highest levels of government, even in our international relations, are corrupted and co-opted by polluting profiteering. That our government would spy on our nearest neighbours in order to benefit Woodside Petroleum should beg a belief. That instead of calling to account those who are responsible, governments would then, both Liberal and Labor governments, would then instead drag the whistleblowers through the courts, shames our entire polity. While Labor are now on the right side of this history, we must never forget that they had to be dragged here by you. Kay and Kaleri's actions are so important because they make us think about the state of our democracy. And a quick glance around the world tells us that there are a few more crucial tasks. Democracy is not in a good state, here or elsewhere around the world. And top-down democracy, the subordination of the will of the people to the profits of the few, turning citizens into consumers, into supplicants, into cogs in the machine, is central to why democracy is now in crisis. If we want to have any hope of facing down the rise of the authoritarian extreme right, we have to build democracy, true democracy, from the bottom up, from the grassroots up. A democracy where government is the collective will of the people. That's why it's so incredibly important to be here today bearing witness to what's going on in these courtrooms. The fact that this trial is being conducted, so much of it in secret, shows that our governments know what they are doing is wrong. Democracy dies in darkness. And Witness K, Bernard Kaleri, and all of you are shining much needed light on that. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks, Tim. Such excellent points you made. Our democracy is so precious and pretty fragile, I think, so we have to really keep up the fight against the attempts to whittle it away. I'd just like to mention also, there's lemons there. If anyone would like some, please take one. I don't want to take them home. Now, I'd really like to introduce Father Richard Browning, who is all the way from Brisbane, from the Anglican Schools Commission. Thank you, Richard.
Catherine, thank you. My authority might be that I've had the privilege of taking students. Is that noisy enough for everybody? My authority maybe to speak would be that I've had the privilege of taking students to Timor-Leste for them to see for themselves what the people of Timor-Leste have lived with and through. And if ever there was a group of people who bear testimony to how it is that if you get knocked down once, you get back up. If you get knocked down five times, you get back up six. If you get knocked down 20 times, you get up 21 times. They are a witness to this world of a graceful, dignified authority of extraordinary grace that we as a world would do well to look deeply into the face of the Timorese, to see what it is to suffer and to repay only with graciousness and gentleness. It is an extraordinary witness that they offer. And so it is that all of us need a witness to our lives, don't we? We all need a witness to our lives. That's not my saying, it's a precious saying that you know yourself. That you would be honoured by somebody else through their presence to tell you that you are not only okay, but you are worth it and you matter. We seem to be in a strange place now where extraordinarily precious things like democracy and truth and justice are equally as exposed and vulnerable and in need of witnesses. For if there are no witnesses, democracy and justice and truth will die and disappear and will be stood over. So it is today that your